Keep It Classy is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you.
I'm in prison, right? And so, first of all, it's a co-ed prison.
What?
But they only put the craziest bitches in these prisons, right? So, of course, I make friends with all the crazy bitches. And so they keep me from getting butt raped. But there's this one dude there that keeps fucking with me who has a gold grill. He also mumbles. So you gotta get really close to him and hear what he's saying. You're not sure if he's gonna fuck you up or if he's just gonna say hello. You never know. But he's like a reaver. Like, you don't want to run from him because he'll chase you. So you always talk to him. And under the gold grill, he has sugar and crystal meth taped to his gums. And then it turns out that I was actually Iron Man in disguise in the prison.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Keep It Classy, your first stop for all things fighting games. Now listen, if you like the podcast, feel free to check out our website at keepitclassy.podbean.com or drop us a line, keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Keep It Classy, your first stop for all things fighting games. Let me just say before we get started, thank you for joining us. You're very sexy, you're attractive, and you have an impeccable taste in podcasts. Let me just say that. I just figure we get off on a nice foot here, because today we're going to talk about a couple of heated topics. But before we do that, let me introduce myself. My name is Keith Barletta, a.k.a. Pac Bell. And with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Mr. David Ivey, a.k.a. Savage.
Hello, hello.
And with Savage, as always, is a terrible plague that he contracted, that he is still sick with, should you hear him cough or choke to death in the middle of our wonderful podcast.
It's not the plague, okay? It's just my body ridding itself of all the weakness. So, it's just... Clearly,
no, you're too man-mode to be sick. You couldn't possibly be that.
No, I wanted to take some time off from work and rid myself of all the weakness in my body.
Oh, shit. Awesome. Well, so this week, a little bit of an example. So what we're going to do this week, there's big news. There's a storm coming, and that storm's name is EVO 2013. And the first, they just started posting the lineup for EVO. So we're going to talk about the lineup for EVO. And a really cool competition that they have going on to decide some of the games that are going to be a part of it. Our main topic for today is going to be a history of game mechanics, specifically focused around some of the most popular fighting games of all time, and how a simple change in a game or a genre's, a franchise's game mechanics can make or break an entire series. It's going to be really cool. And then my favorite part of this is going to be part three, which is our character of the week. And he is the mightiest of mighties, the most atomic of busters, Mr. Iron Tager. And, oh shit, I'm so excited.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you are. You have to run around with your, what is that dude called? The Red Ogre? Run around just ducking people on their heads?
It's Red Devil, I believe, is the actual... the actual name for it.
Whatever.
All right. Well, here we go then. Let's jump right in. Let's do this. So thank you guys for coming back. If you want to get in touch with us, again, we're online, keepitclassy.podbean.com. We'd love to hear your reviews. We're going to be on iTunes, so drop us a 5-star review. If you give us a really good review, we're totally going to read it on the show and give shout-outs to people that support us. Send us any questions you have that you might come up with while listening to our podcast. The email address is keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com. And without further ado, let's get this underway. So the EVO 2013 lineup was just released, the Level Up series, and sure, you can actually post an article about it.
Oh, we really? Have,
yeah. They've got Ultimate Marvel, Street Fighter 4, Tekken Tag 2, Mortal Kombat, right. Street Fighter X, 2013, of course. And then King of Fighters 13, and Persona 4 is actually going to be a part of EVO 2013.
No shit, Metal Blaze Blue?
But no Blaze Blue, but here's the catch. So they're going to have an eighth game, and they have a whole list of all the games. They got Guilty Gear, Smash Bros., Melee, Smash Bros. Brawl, Third Strike, Virtual Fighter, Dive Kick, Melty Blood, My Little Pony, Fighting His Magic, PlayStation All-Stars, Dead or
Alive. You just said that. No way. You just said Fighting His Magic is in there.
That's it. Okay. And Capcom vs. SNK2. Injustice, Gods Among Us, Skullgirls, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Blaze Blue, Soul Calibur, and Darkstalkers. That's all the games. But here's the deal. So they have a – you go to shoryuken.com, you look it up, and it's basically they're doing a donation drive that all funds go to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And basically you vote on which game you want to be in EVO 2013. And whichever game community raises the most money for their game – they get to be the eighth game at EVO. It's pretty cool, you know?
Damn it. Got to raise money for Skullgirls.
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk a little about the actual lineup. What are we hoping here in EVO 2013? I actually am really sad that Injustice isn't part of the main lineup to begin with.
You know, I'm not too worried because I'm pretty sure NetherRealm's just going to, you know, first of all, save a lot of titties by donating a lot of money. First of all, yes, save the titties. Everyone loves them, so why not? Why don't we all pitch in to help them, you know? But I know NetherRealm's going to get in there. There's no way that they're going to go to EVO and not have Injustice Gods Among Us, unless that game somehow inexplicably sucks. But you know what? They got Street Fighter X there, you know, so why not?
Yeah, but it's 2013. It's going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in 2013, that picture of my perm still gonna look bad. Just like Street Fighter X Tekken.
Oh, shit.
That game is terrible. Like, I could talk an hour. If you gave me a solid hour, I could break down how that is just, it's terrible for society, how it makes our community worse, and how it's just the worst thing that has ever happened to us. It's the AIDS of Street Fighter games, man. It's just,
but you would keep it classy and explain how you could make it better, too.
Oh, it's simple. It's so simple. I would get rid of the fucking gems. I'm not doing it. You know what? Fuck it. The gems gotta go. Pandora doesn't make any sense. What does Pandora do? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, we'll talk about it when we get to the mechanics. Well, here's what I'm excited for.
I'm off topic. I'm sorry.
Here's what I'm excited for.
Girls in there.
Yeah, oh, dude, Skullgirls is what I am gunning for. I actually kind of want to see Smash Bros. Just to see if I've kept up with it. I just want to see a ridiculous Smash Bros. Match on the stage. But no, it needs to be Skullgirls because Skullgirls is exciting to watch. It's one of the most dynamic. It is quite literally the best fighting game that's out right now. It just is, and it's really a shame that it doesn't have. I mean, it's got a good following for a game that, you know, didn't really have that much funding and it was made by like three people.
Yeah, it's like a fucking $15 indie game.
Yeah, it's the best thing out there. And you know, I really hope that they're able to put that forward. That or like I said, if I want the eighth game to be serious and I want it to be exciting, I want it to be Skullgirls. If I want it to be ridiculous, it needs to be the My Little Pony or it needs to be Smash Brothers.
I can't believe they're making a My Little Pony fighting game.
It's going to be free. Did you know that? It's
going to
be
free. No, of course it is.
It's going to be free. It's going to be awesome.
What's happening? What's happening to America?
Well, then, and you know what it is? Because I was reading an interesting article about it, and they were talking about the system that they use to build the game. There's more mechanics. Well, there's more things that you can do in that game. First of all, the game doesn't accept any inputs higher than two buttons at a time. And yet they still have a more complicated fighting game system than certain Capcom games, who shall remain nameless, Street Fighter X Tekken. And sure. So it's like, but no, we're not here to hate on Street Fighter X Tekken. Let's talk about, of the main lineup, what we're excited for. I think, like, what do you think is going to be the biggest, most I mean, I know there's going to be, we all know there's going to be the biggest crowd followings are going to be at Street Fighter 4 and Ultimate Marvel. Maybe Mortal Kombat or King of Fighters will be there too, but it's totally going to be one of those two games is going to be the most popular. What do you think is going to be the most exciting to watch out of all those first seven games?
Well, unless they make major changes, like, well, not major, but make balance changes to King of Fighters, it's definitely out of the running.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be Mr. Karate and fucking Flame Yuri running around the whole time. So that's going to be boring to watch. It's going to come down to Ultimate Marvel, I think, because I hate saying that so much. But people have been experimenting with a lot of new crazy teams.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing was better than, like, was it last year that dude that had MODOK, Hagar, and then someone else on his team, but he just was kicking ass with a pipe and a fat dude. I'm like, he had MODOK and a pipe, and he was just kicking ass. I'm like, what happened? Like, where'd that come from? It's shit like that is going to be way more interesting to watch. But I will say this, Street Fighter 4, people have taken that game, like, it's upsetting to me because I like zoning, but they have some insane rushdown in Street Fighter 4.
And it's really smart. It's smart stuff that they've got some fascinating strategies that happen when you watch Street Fighter 4. It's really, really cool watching professional players play that game. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's gonna be up between those two, because Mortal Kombat Mortal Kombat can be pretty cool, but a lot of times when people get pressured, it just turns into watching a lot of block strains.
Well, what about Tekken Tag? I mean, we haven't seen Tekken Tag Tournament 2 really at a really big showing like EVO. I think it's gonna be exciting. The game's fun to play. It's got some pretty decent balance to it, and it's got a comeback mechanic that doesn't suck. And
I gotta see, because, like, you know, it's too much like Virtual Fire to be really exciting to watch unless you know what's going on.
I guess, yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like tennis. It's not quite golf, but it's not football. So you're just kind of in the middle. So, like, I like tennis. I'll watch a tennis match, but I don't know very many people that will sit down and watch it with me. So I don't know. Like, it's in a weird middle ground. They're like, what's that? I'm like, that's a fuzzy guard. And they're like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, like, how do I explain it to someone?
Well, that's a good point. I think that, because what I always try to do every year is, I mean, we try to have, like, an Evo, we call it Nerd Super Bowl, where we get together, we all order chicken wings, and we drink beer, and we watch the finals of Evo. And, you know, every year the same thing happens. We watch Street Fighter 4 or some version of that. Well, Street Fighter 4 or King of Fighters. And those are the only games that people who don't know anything about fighting games can actually get behind and be like, oh, yeah. No, I see what's going on. This is exciting. This is fun. When you watch Marvel, there is shit happening all over the screen. You might as well be just like, just be told who's won, right? But like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter 4, King of Fighters, it's like you really can see what's going on, and it's really great for new players. So, you know, for those of you at home who have never really watched a major, you know, fighting game tournament, or who are ashamed to bring people into the scene because you think that they won't like it or understand it, have them sit down and watch Street Fighter 4, preferably, or Mortal Kombat or King of Fighters with you. And it's really exciting. Those games are fun to watch, you know? Marvel's fun to play. It might not always be fun to watch, though, because there's tons of shit happening, and it's kind of hard to wrap your head around if you're new and getting into the scene.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's true. My only problem is, like I said, I would say King of Fighters, but unless they make some balance changes, it's just going to be the same people over and over again, and that's not going to be fun to watch.
That's true. But I think there's going to be some changes that'll happen. I mean, we've got another 6 or 7 months before everything gets started, and so, you know, we've got till July, right? And so if there was a balance patch to come, it's going to come before Evo. That's for sure.
If it happens, then King of Fighters has, because King of Fighters people just do shit in that game. It's just like, wow, like Ralph has a come at me, bro. Wait, not Ralph, was it? Clark. Oh,
Clark, yeah.
He's like, come at me, bro. And he fucking suplexes you. That's all I need. That's all I need. Like, it's craziness. Like, it's just fun as hell to watch, because you have people, and you can have three crazy people. You got a crazy dude that sees ghosts and stretches his hand. You have a crazy Brazilian guy that's punching you with grenades. You got a chick with her titties hanging out, throwing fans and fire at you. I don't know. It's too much fun to watch.
Well, in the combos, like when you watch a Marvel combo, you just see the numbers ticking up like, and you're like, okay, you got like 150 hit. I don't even know what the fuck just happened. I guess the guy's dead. But in King of Fighters, it's like watching a fighter in, you know, it reminds me of like UFC when a guy's like, he's on the verge of being unconscious and there's that moment where his opponent gets like is able to just beat on him for like a good 30 seconds before the ref stops it. That's what it feels like whenever, like Combo Fiend pulls out a Takuma combo or whatever. It's just like 10 seconds of just, you know, just like over and over and over again. And it's fun. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Steve's getting his ass beat in front of a crowd of people.
You're just praying, like, please drop the combo. Let that man go.
Exactly.
And Tyler just grabs him, opens that shirt, and he just starts beating that ass. Dude. Yeah, see, I love it. Because you watch it, you're like, oh, man, you better pray he drops that combo. And you see the dude in the corner, just like, please, please fuck up. Please fuck up. I can get back in this. I swear, oh, I'm dead.
Yeah. It's just... So we got Evo coming up, and they've got the lineup here. You know, there's all these games. All right, what is the thing that you are most excited for? What is going to be the most exciting thing for you to watch in Evo 2013? Most exciting game to watch? Go.
Okay, all right. I got three things. I got three things I want to happen at Evo. All right. I want to see Filipino chap cry. Mostly because of the Ultra Marvel versus Capcom. I want to see him weep. I want to see him just bawl.
He wept when he won last time.
No. I want to see tears of despair just rolling down his cheeks, and that would just...
He's a nice guy.
Is he? Because he acts like a douche. I want to see the tears from behind his stunner shades. I want it. That's what I want.
Awesome image. A single tear rolls out from behind the stunner shades after Phoenix gets snapped in.
I turn it into a meme. Oh, I'm sorry. I want that to happen. And this is also on my wish list. It might not happen. I want Seth Killian to get his butt whooped for all the lies he spread when he was working for Capcom.
Because he's so got it.
Yeah, angry mob. I need that to happen. And I really, really, really want a hardcore Skullgirls tournament just so everyone can see how awesome that game is.
Yes. Dude.
That's
yes.
What I want. I want people to go in there. I want Peacock to kick ass. And I want them all to see how awesome Skullgirls is.
Yo ho ho.
Love that chick.
Yeah. Skullgirls is on my list. That's what I mean, that is what I want to see at Evo for the 2013 lineup. My most important thing is I want to see James Chen and Ultra Dave, or the equivalent of them, shoutcasting each one of these games. I want to see stats. But you know what? You know what it really is? Most importantly, I want to see, I want an all-star lineup. That's what I want. I'm like, fuck the new players. I want all eight of the best Marvel players in the world. I don't want some dude that just got in there with his cheesy Doctor Doom and Phoenix combos. I want an all-star lineup, at least 70% of them. And I want to see, especially in Street Fighter IV, I really want to see Infiltration lose. But he can fight for it, but it's time for someone to make a comeback. This is the year, man. I'm rubbing my hands together and twirling my curly mustache. This is the year. I want to see the Titan fall, and I want to see who does it. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'm telling you, it's Daigo and who's that other dude? The other sociopath on Madcast team. Tokido. Yeah, they're gonna go back to the lab. They're gonna practice. And they're gonna, listen, we're gonna take a break from killing hookers. We're gonna go to the lab. We're going to practice until we can destroy Infiltration. And they're going to come back, and they're going to get their little serial killer mindset going, and they're going to beat him.
It's going to be so awesome, because you know he's going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And I really hope that kid, the like 13-year-old kid, he can be the only one that's allowed in the top eight, because I want to see that. I want to see a child get in the top eight.
The kid whose dad sold his rims so that they could go to Vegas for Evo.
I know. That's so crazy.
I'm like, well, he's like, yeah, I sold my rims so my son can come to Evo. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's so ghetto and awesome at the same time.
For those of you who don't know, there's a kid named Noah, I believe is his name. And he's been at the past two Evos. And he's like 13, but he... And he's, well, no, he's younger than that. He's like 10. Yeah.
He's like crazy young. His Hulk team is awesome.
He plays a Hulk team, and he's got this big old stick that's too big, that he's got to like carry. And it's too big for him to sit in his lap. And you see him, and he always wears this Marvel hoodie, and he kicks ass at that game.
And the best part is whenever people beat on him, they boo him in the crowd.
Yeah.
And who was it? Like, last year, someone just destroyed this kid, like crushed his spirit. Like, I don't ever want you to play this game again. And the crowd's booing. He just gets up and walks away. Like, yeah, someone had to do it. It was crazy.
The only way that kid could have more support is if he had titties. Like, there's no way. He's awesome. And so he can be. So Noah can be in the top eight. And then the rest of them have to be all stars for Marvel. And then for Street Fighter, I'm excited. And, you know, I think...
Oh, that's right. For Street Fighter, you know what I want to see? I've got to see a Hakan in there. I got to see him just dumping the jizz on this. Oh, I need it. Oh, I got to get so slippery for this. I'm so right. I need that in the top eight.
Oh, shit.
There's something about Daigo's Ryu going up to a Hakan and just dumping that shit on his face. Like, oh... I need that. That's what I need.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome. On behalf of the podcast, here's what I will say that I hope for Evo and for the next couple tournaments, because we got SoCal Regionals, NorCal Regionals, UFGT, CEO. We got a lot of tournaments coming up on the way to Evo. I guess the simplest way to put this is don't start a fist fight over a fighting game. And stop being a dickhead. Just hype the scene. Show up with a collared shirt on and a nice t-shirt underneath. Maybe shower that week.
Dude, okay.
When we go to these tournaments, it is always the smelliest, hypest, weirdest place. And I love it. I love it. But I want people who don't understand like I do to love it too. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, I want to say kudos to your girl, man, because she put up with a lot of weirdness last time we went to one of these little gatherings, I want to call it. Because, man, it was just weird and smelly, and I should apologize because I did almost start a fist fight. That guy was being an asshole.
You, when we went to IPL4, this is a complete tangent. First of all my comparisons, one of my biggest comparisons in terms of when I'm trying to figure out, whether something is, I guess what's the right word, approachable to someone who knows absolutely jack shit about fighting games, I always run it by my girlfriend and her friends. And it's always the best gauge of anything. And you might think that's retarded, but, I mean, you got to remember, guys, we're not trying to, we're not trying to make a movie for people that make movies, if that makes sense. We're trying to make this accessible to people that don't understand. That's how the game community is going to grow, is by making this available to people that's going to, you know, that don't know anything about this shit, that are just there because they're interested they just want to check it out, or they're there because someone dragged them there or whatever. But as a complete tangent, we almost started a Savage almost started a riot when we went to IPL4 because the internet went out during StarCraft. He was one chair throw away from that whole place, from the entire Cosmopolitan Hotel going up in flames.
I'm telling you, man, you should have let me throw that chair. It would have been over. I'm like, that's it. I throw the chair, they will have never known it was me. We scatter, we will have been fine.
Ah, shit. Yes, no riots, and please, you know, let's shoot for making this, you know, like a professional, like a real sporting event. And you know, not like a Raiders game. But like something that it's, yeah, but true. We don't need any night things in the bathroom. We don't need any fist fights, and we don't need any shit talking beyond what is playful. Okay.
Yeah, there we go. See, we need it to be somewhere between like a liquor. No, that's terrible. We need somewhere between what's a calm team. Okay, fuck it. We'll go with the Lakers, and we need something between like a Lakers game and a Dodgers game, you know? Just somewhere in the middle.
And it's going to be awesome. It'll be great. You know, you get a couple of shoutcasters up there. They're totally going to wear ties. I swear to God, if the shoutcasters don't wear ties, I'm going to freak out.
I bet you $20 that when it comes to King of Fighter, there's going to be a fat guy in a hoodie. I bet you $20 is going to be a fat guy in a hoodie.
No fat guys in hoodies.
And he's going to be in the tournament, too. Watch. He's going to be a fat guy in a hoodie, and they're going to be like, oh, like someone's got to cover for me. I got to go play my game. I bet you $20.
No, it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. We're going to – this year's the year, all right? We survived the apocalypse. It's a new year. We're going to set this off on the right foot, right? We're gonna step into the new year. We're going to make this happen. And I really hope that Skullgirls – and I hate – you know what? That's not true. I really want Blaze Blue to be in it because Blaze Blue deserves some credit too. But, you know, I wish Blaze Blue and Skullgirls – you know what? I wish Street Fighter X was out and Blaze Blue was in and Persona was out and Skullgirls was in. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't get what – you know what? Man, I'm just gonna nut up and buy Persona and just play it. I'm gonna be that chick with the handgun and see what the whole deal's about. Cause it's fun, but like, just the mash A for a combo. First of all, I do that on accident more than I want to. And I'm like, listen, I just wanted to spend that to get away from him because I was panicking. I didn't want to do a combo. And like, it's just, I don't know. It's fun, but the beat out Blaze Blue. Especially with Chrono Phantasma coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and you know what it is? Because people will talk this, because we're going to get into this when we talk about mechanics. But when it comes to dial a combo systems and people being like, well, blah, 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 that won't work against me because I play this game 6 hours out of the day every day. And I'm like, that's fine. But a game's accessibility, but like if it works for me against my buddy and we've only owned it for a couple of days and my buddy stops playing it because I keep beating him with mash A to win combos, then the game has failed. The game has failed if dial a combo is you know, you'll be like, oh, well, it's not about that because you could do real combos and it does more damage. I'm like, yeah, but if I hit you with three jabs, the game's over because I will do three super based combos and you'll just die. You know, like, or you'll be really close in between all the poking and random shit that I'm doing. And it's like, oh, well, you know, we can't do the tournaments. That's not what we're trying to get across to you guys here. What we need to get across is when it comes to game mechanics, you need something that's accessible, but that has some longevity to it.
Yeah.
And that's not going to just be, you know, oh, that was fun that I played at this party, and then I'm never going to play it again because I got my ass kicked by some 3-year-old who just kept walking over the joystick. You know what I mean? Like, But
it's just, I'm sorry, but I'll say before we talk about game mechanics. But, I don't get Persona 4. I see how it could have been really awesome, but that dial combo thing really, really irks me. And with Blaze Blue has problems, but I think it deserves being there more than Persona 4.
Yeah. And by the way, when we refer to dial a combo, it's simply a universal combo that works for every character. So, like, ABC is a combo for every single character in the game. And or just mashing jab is a combo for every character in the game. That's dial a combo. You dial 1-800-COMBO, and you get a combo with every character. That's why they call it dial a combo. But, yeah, so you know what? Why don't we just jump right into game mechanics? So we're going to focus a little bit on game mechanics and in-game mechanics, not specifically some of the menus and UIs and things like that. There have been, over the years, because there's been tons of editions of Street Fighter, King of Fighters, you know, Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue, Darkstalkers, Marvel vs. Capcom, like all these games, they keep coming out with new editions, but every now and again they make these minor tweaks to the mechanics. And in some cases, it can make the game literally last 20 years. In other cases, the game will be done before the year is out. The people will stop playing it. You know what
Street
I mean?
5 seconds.
So, yeah, no, that was a weird cough. Yeah, it's not, yeah.
It's just a weakness.
Yeah, it's a weakness, yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about... So, okay, before we do anything else, let's talk about an example. Let's do an example of a game that was changed and immortalized by a small, tiny, tiny change to the game. We're going to talk about Third Strike and parrying.
You going to call parry a tiny change?
It is a tiny change. Push forward when someone attacks instead of backwards.
That changes the whole way you play that fucking game. It's insane.
It's a tiny tweak. All you're doing is it's a small change that has butterfly affected into making the entire game better. And everything about the game better. You know what I mean? It's made everything about that game better with simply giving you, and here's why. You can talk as much shit as you want about, oh, well, you know, it gives you the frame advantage and this and that and the blah, 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 blah. No. Here's the one thing. Here's the single solitary reason that parrying is so good. It's a small thing because, again, it's a very simple mechanical change. You push forward instead of pushing backwards, right? It's not a whole new set of special moves that you have to do. You know, it's a very simple, small little change where you can, if you have good timing, you can negate an attack. But it gives you options in the air. And that is the single, solitary reason why Third Strike has survived this long. That is it. That one single reason. It has nothing to do with parrying. It has to do with the fact that parrying allows you to have an option in the air. And that is the tiny, important change that came with Third Strike.
And it gives you a way to stand up to Shotos and they're Shoryuken!
Exactly. And it changes everything about the game when you can't just throw shit out like that, right?
Yeah. I will say one bad thing about it is there's a lot of imbalance in that game. Yeah. And then we ask someone, like, how do you balance that? They go, learn to parry. I will give them that. Like, I've seen people, once again, all right, I'm that guy. I'm like, oh, I played 12, so fuck you. Right, I played 12 in Third Strike. But I look up guys, they're like, listen, just the better you are parrying, the better you're going to be at playing 12, because that's going to be your great equalizer.
Yeah.
And then if they know how to parry just as well as you, you're going to lose. But if you can parry better than them, you will win. And that has been a great equalizer for fucking for Third Strike. And I think that's a good and a bad thing, but really, it's still one of the best fucking mechanics out there.
And that's what you just said is the exact reason why. So let's talk about a good mechanic and a bad mechanic. A good mechanic does exactly what you just said, where even if your character has special moves that quote unquote aren't as good as other characters or so forth, or they have a different style, the basic mechanics that run through the game allow you to compete with characters that have better options than you. That is what a good mechanic does in a fighting game.
See, you talk about parrying, but I will say my favorite is the Arc System, Just Defense.
Yeah.
It's still the best fucking defensive mechanic. That is the great equalizer. I suck at it. I'm terrible at it. But I know that if I got good at it, I would be able to do infinitely fucking better. And all the problems I have with the people I have trouble beating in a game could be solved if I just got better at Just Defense.
And that's a great mechanic. It allows you to close a character gap with something that's built into the game. You know what I'm saying? Where it's, okay, your character, like, it's next to impossible to have a fully balanced cast. And that's not to say it's not possible to have a very closely balanced cast, but there's always going to be someone that does just a little bit better than everybody else. And the way you deal with that is having good mechanics. It's one of the reasons I always criticize Street Fighter as a game in general, is because the amount of things you can do are extraordinarily limited. You can block high, you can block low, you can jump. That's it.
Whoa. Hey. You have ultras.
And you have, and in Street Fighter 4, you have a soft parry thing with the focus attack where you absorb a move, and I can't even say it. It's so stupid.
God, okay? I hate focus attacks.
So you've got, three and a half hard mechanics that are really, that are really helping the game come together as a whole. In most of those games, that's why I criticize that game, and I'm like, no air block, really? Why? I don't understand. Oh, because you have to be smart about what you're doing in Street Fighter. No, it's because they're too lazy and they don't want to make the game more balanced.
That would take a lot of work. It's crazy. I'm not gonna go into my problems with Street Fighter. Fuck, it's game mechanics, so I might as well say it. They took a huge step backwards in Street Fighter 4. They said they were going back to fundamentals, and that's stupid, because Street Fighter Alpha 3 and Third Strike all had good mechanics. I will say Street Fighter 3 was a little step backward. There's no air blocking, but the EX moves and the parrying gave that game tons of depth, all right?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you don't want to do parrying, that's cool. But they just, what is it? My favorite all-time fucking Capcom system was from Capcom vs. SNK2, where you pick your grooves.
Yeah, grooves. It's simple.
You pick a character, you pick a groove. The character's not doing well, you change your groove, that guy will probably kick ass with an end groove. It's like, oh, man, I can't win. Let me get an end groove or some other groove and just kick ass. Because that gave you options, and, it gave you enough options where you didn't feel like you were crippled. You just felt like you needed to try something different or do a little better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Street Fighter 4 has none of that. It's just jump, block high, block low, focus attacks, which are pointless. The only time anyone uses a focus attack, now, is just to cancel into another move.
Or for fireballs.
Yeah, no, they don't even do it. They jump over them, because if you focus attack a fireball, they're just going to find a way to hit you and make you lose your white health.
Yeah.
But the only time they focus is when they don't have an option. They're like, oh, I can't jump over it. Fuck. Let's hope this doesn't go badly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they literally ignore that mechanic except to cancel moves. And that's a terrible mechanic. It was just a stupid mechanic to begin with. I'm not going to go into focus attacks. Point is, it's a bad mechanic. Then, what they did with Street Fighter 4, they got rid of the guard break, which is upsetting, because it's like, okay, you get rid of guard breaks, so now the only way you can stop someone from turtling is with a throw. So, I don't like it. I don't like the way Street Fighter 4 plays. I'll watch it. It's fun to watch. I love watching other people suffer. But playing it myself, the mechanics are just not there, and it's very, very upsetting.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Let's talk about I'm going to list off a couple of examples of mechanics, because if you don't understand what we are referring to when we refer to mechanics, as opposed to special moves and this, that, and the other thing, I'm going to list off some mechanics, and we're just going to talk just briefly before we talk about how it can break a game, how they can contribute to a game as a whole. So here's some examples. If you play any of the Guilty Gear or Arc System games, Roman Canceling, Burst System, those are both examples of mechanics. Multiple Super Meter, things you don't think about, like having five bars of Super in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. EX moves, which are double versions of which consuming partial meter. That's a great mechanic that's been implied. You have comeback mechanics like X Factor, Pandora, the Rage shit in Tekken Tag 2, parrying like we just talked about in Street Fighter 3, dial a combo, which we talked about earlier, universal overheads where you can always hit someone blocking low in Street Fighter 3, universal dragon punches from Persona 4, push blocking, assists, there's all these little things that you don't really notice that make the game, and when you sit down and you compare games together, it's what makes the games different from each other. At the end of the day, it's still about two people beating the shit out of each other and trying to beat each other to death with special moves and things like that. But what really makes a game different and what really makes a game stand out are how good the mechanics are and how good they are at bringing the cast together coherently in a balanced way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's perfect sense. It's just, yeah, like, it's crazy because I feel like we're getting a little, this is going to be like the most esoteric episode that we've done, but really, with the mechanic, like, there's so many mechanics, like, I never thought about it until, you know, we actually start talking about the topic for this episode, but there's so many mechanics that I have mastered and or just couldn't master or tried and abandoned. Like, you know what? Roaming canceling, I have never been able to roaming cancel and make it happen. Like, they're like, all you gotta do is roaming cancel. I'm like, that is the one thing I absolutely suck at.
Roman canceling, like, lets you cancel one move into another, for those of you that don't know. At the cost of meter, you can cancel one move into another that doesn't normally, you know, combo.
So, like, the beauty of it is, especially, like, with Eddie, apparently, is you cancel a super into another super, and you wreck someone. And I just could not get that shit going. And I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'll stick to my EX moves and abusing my bursts and my drills. Like, Roman canceling never clicked with me.
Yeah.
But my favorite, like, my favorite recent one was, because I play Blaze Blue, I play Arakune, and I'm like, you know, I like to either play zoners, or I like characters with a counter, because one of my favorite characters of all time is Rock Howard. God, I love Howard. And you just get your Pete Groove on, and then Capcom vs. SNK2. And you parry, and you just throw people across the stage. I love it. Because when he throws someone, it's like he's wiping his hands of you.
Yeah. He claps his hands together like, yep, and you're tossed.
And you just get thrown across. I love that shit. But, like, so I love counter characters. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to learn Hawkman and Blaze Blue. So I look up a guide, and they're like, okay, so here's what you're going to have to learn how to do. You got to learn how to just defend. I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to just defend, and you're going to cut people with your lightsaber. And I'm like, oh, I suck at that. All right, well, let me see what else I need to do. And they're like, then you have to learn how to be psychic. I'm like, what? Like, they're like, just predict his moves and then do your counter, because you can't react and do the counter. You got to predict it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God. And I'm like, no one can do that. That'll never fucking happen. And then Sparks just wiped everyone out.
And then you watch Evo and you watch Sparks. Just defense is like you hit block at the exact moment a move makes contact with you, and it gives you it lets you react faster once you block. It's awesome. And Sparks does it. That's the when we talked about it last episode with Lord Knight shedding a single tear as he got beat by a sociopath. That's the game to watch if you ever want to learn about someone being completely psychic. It's like it's insane. And it's an example of how mechanics in a good game can help the game become exciting, right?
Yeah.
If you're a game designer, don't worry as much about character design until you figure out how your mechanics are going to work. Are you going to have a burst system? Are you going to have a block gauge? Are you going to have an air dash? Are you going to have an air block? Are you going to be able to roll when you hit the ground? Are you going to be able to push people away while you're blocking? And the answer should be yes, because you need to have as many awesome mechanics as possible so that you don't have the limited amount of options that because you're not going to be able to get all these characters to fit, especially if they're designed well and they're designed differently. They're not going to balance well together until you get the mechanics solid. Because at the very least, from a low to mid level of play, the mechanics are what is going to make the difference between a win and a loss for a new player.
Yeah, sure.
So let's talk about okay, an example, because we talked about your favorite being Grooves, my favorite being parrying and in Third Strike. Let's talk about an example of when mechanics don't serve a game very well.
What does Pandora? What does it do? You know, I want someone from Capcom to come down here and explain to me how Pandora doesn't suck. I don't get it. That game is, oh my God, what is Pandora?
It's a comeback mechanic that doesn't make any sense.
If you don't come back, Mafia just fail. It's like you're punishing your partner for the fucking losing that game.
Yeah. No, I get it. And so what I'm going to reference now is just like that. It's a mechanic that has not served the game very well, and in many cases has resulted in people not playing the game not picking it up at all. And that mechanic is X Factor.
Oh God. That's the other thing. Okay.
In Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the comeback mechanic of X Factor. And we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to talk about how to fix it.
You know how you fix X Factor? You get it the fuck out of the game. It's a comeback. It's not. But like, Capcom is obsessed with putting bad mechanics in there for the, just saying it will help new players get into the game, and it's not. It's just pushing new players right the fuck out of the game, because you take something that broken and you put it in the game, and all that's going to happen is a pro is going to just use it and brutalize people. Like, we've all seen Dark Wesker.
Yeah.
You see that dude and you're just like, oh, he's the last guy. He's the anchor. So as soon as he comes out, he's going to take off the sunglasses, he's going to go X-Factor, and he's going to beat my whole team to death. My girlfriend's not going to pick up the game and be like, X-Factor, this game's fun. I should have been fighting games this whole time. That's never going to happen.
No.
Why does he keep doing that? There's nothing good about X-Factor. It's a terrible, terrible system. And a game, especially in a game that revolves around you doing a hit confirm and then a kill combo, to add X Factor in there on top of that is just terrible. Like, the worst thing I hate seeing in Street Fighter, like not Street Fighter, but Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, is someone getting a happy birthday is when you catch the character that's on screen and his assist in a combo. Because the first thing they're going to do is they're going to do a combo, they're going to X Factor, and they're going to kill two characters like that.
Two-thirds of your life. Think about it. All three characters are a third of your health bar, right? Two-thirds of your life, gone. One combo. You're done. Starting up right off the bat.
And it's just like, okay, well, this match is over. Yeah. Unless Wesker. Because then you go Dark Wesker and you bring it back. I hate X Factor. It is the only reason I would say it's not the worst fucking mechanic is because I don't understand Pandora. It's like they stopped trying halfway through making a comeback mechanic. But X Factor is a close fucking second because it ruins games. And I hate it.
It doesn't contribute. Like, we have to think about when you think in terms of game design, what's the goal? I mean, when you're thinking about Marvel versus Capcom as a franchise, okay, what that game has always been about is A, having a complicated and very interesting team composition that works really well. You found that one weird team composition that works really well together. It's got a really fun character building thing. And two, using that, having the most ridiculous combos you could possibly ever have. And X Factor, having a mechanic that improves your damage by up to like 50, 60%, depending on the character that it is, and the speed that they move. And it's something that you can just do, and it Roman cancels. It cancels any move that you're doing, so you can just do it and interrupt and instantly kill any character. That doesn't contribute to good team composition or to having the most ridiculous combos you can have. It doesn't. It just makes the game, you know, it makes some games kind of exciting, but more often than not, it's something you have to work around as opposed to something that's working with you to make the game more exciting.
Yeah, so like you'll see someone get an X Factor and they drop the combo the next 30 seconds, like the next 10 seconds of the match is them avoiding each other and the X Factor goes away. If they had just replaced X Factor with a burst, Ultimate Marvel would be a completely different and a better game.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take an X Factor, because burst is a comeback mechanic, because when you're stuck in that combo, you're like, God, if I can survive this combo, I can turn this around. And you burst and you turn that match around. That's a comeback mechanic.
Yes.
X is terrible. It is terrible. I have nothing good to say about it.
Well, and for those of you who have qualms about this because, you know, just think about it like this. Say you're playing Street Fighter and you're playing Ryu, right? Or you're fighting against a Ryu, and Ryu jumps in and he does heavy kick. He catches you with a jump in heavy kick, and he does heavy punch Shoryuken. He does a 3-hit combo to you. And now imagine, like, it's a pretty simple, basic combo. You know, it just requires a very minor amount of timing. Maybe he does, like, you know, a little link. He does heavy kick, light, you know, light punch, Shoryuken. Like, he does, like, a little combo. You know, it's got a little bit of difficulty, but not really. Now imagine that taking away 2/3 of your life in Street Fighter. Right off the bat, 10 seconds gone. And you're at a third of your life, maybe less, depending on what happened. That's insane. Insane. It doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't contribute to the game as a whole. It doesn't contribute to the game's message of, you know, in Street Fighter, obviously, it doesn't contribute having that kind of a thing. But in Marvel, when you have, it's all about the combos, right? It's all about the most ridiculous, cool characters flying in and off the screen, and this guy pulling out this ridiculous 150 hit combo with nothing but his balls in a dream, and his crazy intuition and his inventiveness. That's what Marvel's all about. And when you have a mechanic like that, it just takes all that shit out, because you can just have a character that does a 6-hit instant death combo, and then the next character comes in, you get a hit confirm, that character's dead too. God forbid the third character gets hit, because then that character's dead too. And that's it.
And Dark Wesker wins again.
Yeah. So, but let's talk, but, you know, because we're, you know, we're not just here to rank on this game, because it is going to be there for a long time. It's a great, you know, it's going to be a very exciting thing, and it could be something that could push the fighting game genre forward. If assuming they release more or they release updates, I doubt anything's going to change with X Factor. But
no.
It won't. But to give you an example of what we're talking about here, imagine this instead. You have X Factor, but you take away the damage and the speed that it gives you. All it does is it's a Roman cancel. It lets you cancel one move into another. That's it. Just lets you extend your combo.
Okay. I will be okay with that.
That's all it does.
I'll prefer a burst. Like, I would prefer if it was a burst. Because
you know,
then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would just stop the happy birthdays from just ruining a match. Like people love it. Like, I would love it too if I was playing that game, because that means I just got an easy match.
Yeah.
But, like, watching it is just like, oh, God, this. So this one's a wash. Let's get to the next game.
Exactly. It makes you give up on the game when you watch it otherwise. But I think you're onto something with if you had to choose, so you have one X factor. Maybe you use it and maybe it recharges later in the match or something. It recharges over time or something like that. Or it starts empty and then it charges up. So it comes into play in the middle of the game instead of something you have right at the beginning. Where you could choose to use your X factor to burst out of a combo, or to extend your own, and you can use it once. That's it. Right?
Yeah,
and it would be like parrying. A simple thing. Stop another person's combo, extend your own. That's it. And all of a sudden, you're going to have the most ridiculously cool game. Right?
It would be so much better. And that's what... Like, okay, you know, I hate to be like, I'm just running down Ultimate Marvel, but what? I hate X Factor, but... Like, they still do a lot of things right, like, because there's so many options there, you can have a pretty awesome game. That's why I'm really excited to see it at the new Evo, because there's so many people doing weird-ass compositions that it's going to be a fun game to watch, and I'm really excited about it. But, yeah, the X Factor, because you just... When you see teams built around the X Factor, when you see their anchor, like that anchor revolves completely around having X Factor.
A comeback just, mechanic.
Yeah, it's just upsetting. It's just like, oh, come on, dude. Like, really? It's almost as bad as seeing a Phoenix. You're like, really?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, though? Like, you either interrupt their combo, extend your own. And it wouldn't even end in timeouts, because there's so many examples of people coming up with combos that are still touch of death. that don't involve X Factor. You would still have the awesome, creative, over-the-top kill a character in one-hit combos, but you wouldn't have this crazy mechanic that just kind of lets you instantly guarantee a win with a certain character.
I'm totally down with the idea of it being a burst, or, you know, either it gets you out of a combo or helps you extend yours. Love that idea.
You know what I mean? If it's just real, real simple, and it's like, oh, well, but, cause right now X Factor, you pop it and it Roman cancels and it, you know, it interrupts the move you're doing, and then it lets you extend your combos and increases your damage and your speed, and it lets you recover red life. You know, if you've been hurt, it lets you recover some life, and it lets you do all, and you're like, okay. And it lets you do combos that you couldn't otherwise do because you're faster. And it's like, that's not a good mechanic. It's messy. It doesn't work. You know, if you're designing a game out there, if you're the one designing the next Skullgirls, you need to keep it simple, and you need to keep it in a way that allows players, that allows the game to come together cohesively. When you have comeback mechanics, that's not how you make a game cohesive, especially not a comeback mechanic that you can manually activate. There's a difference between Tekken Tag and you're like at a quarter life and your character does a little more damage, and you can just activate the comeback mechanic when you have full life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a fan of it. That's the other thing. I'm not a fan of anything that's labeled a comeback mechanic. Because the comeback mechanic either doesn't work or imbalances the game to such a point where new players don't even want to play it.
Because they falsely see, they think that the game revolves around something it doesn't revolve around, and it's discouraging. It is discouraging to have those kinds of things. So, you know, mechanics, you're going to hear us talk a lot more about this as the various shows go on, but mechanics are crucial in these games, and when we talk about a good game versus a bad game, most of the time it's going to have to do with mechanics. And in the history of all things, I really think a great example is parrying in terms of a simple change that changed everything about the game, and a bad example is X Factor. And there's tons more. There's tons more out there. But at the end of the day, you know, what we want to encourage you guys to think about is try and think dynamically about what this game has available to you. And choose your games kind of based on that. If you really want a balanced game, get a game with full mechanics. You know, with full set of mechanics.
That's true, yeah.
You know, if you're making a future game, add more balanced mechanics. Give your characters more options other than what's in their special move list.
It'll make all the difference.
Yeah, it changes everything. So let's move on to our character of the week.
Oh God!
Do you wanna start?
No, I don't want to take this joy from you. So please.
The character of the week is Iron Tager from Blaze Blue, the giant, sexy, grappling Red Devil. Oh shit. So why don't we talk about, you can talk about how to beat Tager, and then I'll talk about how to never lose with Tager and how Tager works.
So how to beat Tager?
Yeah.
Oh, man, don't get magnetized. It depends, actually. You know what it is?
Yeah, how do you deal with Tager?
With arc system games, it all comes down to the matchup, so it all depends on who you're playing. If you're playing Noelle, man, don't drop that combo. If you're playing with, like, Cosma, just keep tagging them with the fucking with the Ouroboros. If you're playing with Arakune, you get good at just using your evasions. Instant blocking will be your best fucking friend because his combos are basic. You just got to get into the rhythm. And also, like, once you get him cursed, just do that curse combo. Get that bug loop down, and you'll wear him out. It's just... The thing with an Arakune match has been a bane of my existence is either you almost beat him with a perfect or it's like a life or death battle. There's no middle ground. Either you beat him with a perfect or you're just almost dead when you beat him.
Well, and for those of you who don't know, Iron Tager has his, when he's talking about the magnetism, Iron Tager's special moves magnetize you, quote unquote, where all of his moves pull you towards him. It's awesome.
Yeah, so you get pulled towards the grappler. So imagine that hell. It's worse when you're in the air. So with Arakune, which involve almost all your moves involve you being in the air, it's surprisingly dangerous. With that being said, it all boils down to the matchup. Like, you gotta know your character and how to keep your distance, when to keep your distance from Tager, and when to capitalize on it. And you gotta learn how to insta-block those sledgehammers.
Yeah, when he just runs at you. And you know what? I'm gonna add on to this. You know which direction Tager's gonna go. He's gonna go towards you. The distance is going to be closed. Okay, that's just going to happen. And actually, as a Tager player, the worst thing that happens to me is when people rush me down. It's the worst. When people rush me down really smart, Tager doesn't have a lot of shit to do to deal with that. He doesn't have a good, decent wake-up game where he pops up off the ground. He's got his throws, but for the most part, if you know what's coming with Tager, I mean, you can just rush him down. I say rush him down is what I say, because when you get up in his face, he's not quick. His moves don't have a ton of priority unless they have a ton of wind-up. And you just get in his face. And it seems counterintuitive because his mechanic is to pull you closer to him. But that's a mind game that Tager plays with you. He lays it on you. Right?
Sure. It's all about your matchup. Like, I've seen Noelle ruin a Tager because she got him in a combo and she would not drop that combo. Every time she grabbed him, she would just wreck him, take a chunk of his health.
Yeah. And then if you're playing Tager, here's what you have to remember when you're playing as Iron Tager. All right, Iron Tager is very much, as a lot of grapplers are, a gimmick character. And he's very much like a 50-50 kind of character, where he's going to knock you down, and you're going to get up off the ground, and there's like three or four different things he could do. And if you choose wrong, you're going to get thrown, and you're going to have your spine broken. And basically, so, you know, as Iron Tager, you need to learn how to capitalize on a knockdown, primarily on a knockdown, but with Tager when you get magnetism, how to capitalize all the shenanigans. You need to learn as many shenanigans as you can with Tager. Because when you knock somebody down, they can pop up off the ground, and there's only a couple of things that you can do, but if you hit with one of them, they're back on the ground again, and you just keep resetting them, so to speak. So with Tager, learn what your different shenanigans are and learn which ones are your favorite, because Tager isn't the kind of character that's going to have a crazy huge combo. He's going to be the kind of guy that chunks you with a throw for a third of your life. And that means that it's entirely based around a single moment, right? With most grapplers, all their stuff is based around having a single moment go your way. Right.
That's true.
You get chances, but they're going to get up off the ground, and you need to make it so that you throw them or hurt them and put them back on the ground again. You have one moment to make it work before they get away from you, and you spend the next 30 seconds trying to get them back again. And that's the kind of character that grapplers are, is everything is based on that one moment where they're close to you and you're on top of them and you could do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. Or you suck them to you. What's your magnetism?
Oh, shit. No, I love it. I love it, because he could just, it's all about, it's so suspenseful when you play Tager, right? Because they get close to you and you're like, oh, man, who's going to be more man mode, me or them? Who's going to do something more ridiculous, me or them? Who's going to think more moves in advance, me or them? And then I break their back. And it's me.
Man, I hate it. It's just, it used to be one of the easiest matchups for Arakune, and it just turned into this crazy all-or-nothing matchup. It's just the worst.
Oh, shit. I love it. I love it. I love Iron Tager. So when you play as Iron Tager, learn how to capitalize, and on any grappler, learn how to capitalize on your one moment. You got that moment, and you all know it if you play a grappler, where you're right on top of them, you're like, yes, now is the time. I'm going to put my big manly metal arms around this dude, and I'm going to make him see God. And if you can't capitalize on it, then they're going to get away from you, and you're going to spend the next 30 seconds being miserable. So that is the key with Iron Tager and any grapplers. So yeah. So So there you go. So that's Iron Tager. That's our character of the week. Again, Iron Tager was submitted by you, the people. And he was chosen probably because we talked so much about him and Arakune. But he was chosen by you, the people. And if you want to submit a character of the week, send us an email, keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com. Or, you know, drop us some comments on the website or on iTunes or whatever. But we'll get it. Just find ways to get in touch with us. Email is usually the best way. And just, you know, put in the
title. Or you
can
stop us on the street, you know? Be like, yeah. I know you.
Yeah, you stop us and be like, character of the week, this guy. And we'll be like, whoa, okay, cool, don't kill me. And then we'll walk away. And we'll totally not talk about it on the show.
Maybe it'll be an intro. I met this guy on the street. He told me he knew me.
So, all right, so... Last but not least, we try to do a little Q&A at the end of the show, as those of you know. This week, we have a question submitted by CBrain20. So thank you guys to everybody that sent us questions. Thank you, CBrain20, for having the best one. The question is, how do I avoid getting discouraged after a string of losses? And when I do, what is the best way to get back on the horse after losing a bunch?
That's a simple answer. You punch a baby. You just get all the rage, and you just go and you just punch a baby dead in the face, and it's all gone after that. And you're like, you know what? I'm cool. Yeah, you're relaxed. Or a puppy. Puppies work too, but babies are best.
As is your life and your livelihood. All your relationships are gone. But hey, you feel better. Eh?
Yeah, I'm saying. Hey, it solves the problem.
Now, you know what it is? You have to step back and acknowledge a loss for what it is. A loss is a learning experience. You have to stop because we always react emotionally before we react logically. It's just a human thing. It helps us stay alive. We always react with the passion before we react logically, right? We always react with, fuck this guy, before we react to, okay, well, he did this and this and this. And then I lost. But I'm going to play again because I can just push the button and I'll be playing another person in 30 seconds. And I'll never see this guy again. You know what I mean? The logical part of our brain jumps in second.
You know, the thing is, it's good. Like, if you can just think back on your mistakes and just like I always try and learn from your mistakes, you'll do all right. And also, always remember, it's just a game.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, it's just it's not one of those things where it's not like it's hard to pick up and play another match. You know what I mean? Even if you lose that match and the match afterwards and the match afterwards, it's not hard to just push the button, get back in it again, you know? It's not like it's costing you it's not like in the arcade where it costs you a quarter every time you lose. Because you usually want to see someone get aggro, watch a guy lose $2 playing a game in the arcade.
Oh, yeah.
But because that actually has some tangible value to it. But all that you lose when you lose playing against online or someone in the same room as you is your pride. And you just got to let that shit go when you're playing fighting games.
You got to grow. You got to just be like, okay, all right, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to take a deep breath. Look at what I did wrong. And I'm going to ruin this asshole. And then you
get back on the horse and I'll fuck the shit out of this guy.
Exactly. You got to cowboy up. Right.
That's exactly what you need to do. You need to take the emotional part of your brain and the logical part of your brain, and you need to make them switch places. So logically, you're like, okay, so he did this and this and this, and that's okay because I can just play again. And, you know, whatever, I lost because he did this. I should probably try doing this. And then I'm going to fuck the shit out of this guy.
You got to get serious.
So that the emotional part comes second, right? You justify it first, and then you use that passion to fuel you to get back into the game again.
Sure, because nothing's better than beating someone's ass after you really wanted it. Like, when you really, really want it, you're like, oh, God, the taste of it, the victory.
Sweet. That's the taste. Yeah.
Nothing will make you happier.
But, yeah, in terms of quick fixes, definitely standing up, setting the thing down. I mean, seriously, go to the bathroom. Get something to eat. Go. Take 10 minutes doing something you're guaranteed to enjoy, and then go back to it.
You know sure. I mean? Or a glass of whiskey. Oh. I should. It's like, okay, let me get a glass of whiskey. That's what I used to do after work. It was like, I do a game. If after 10 losses, I get a glass of whiskey.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to be one of those nights.
Underage, don't get a glass of whiskey. Get some soda. Go on a walk. All right? Do something, anything for 10 minutes. Give yourself 10 minutes. Because remember, you can bang out, like in 20 minutes worth of games, you can bang out a good 20 or 30 different games, right? So 10 minutes isn't that big of a thing because you're going to just be like, bam, 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 bam. You can bang out. You can just run it back over and over and over and over again in a very small span of time. So, you know, people like the impulse is always going to be there for you to be like, run it back, start it over again, right? And just get back in there and keep doing it. But and that's fine, but after you've lost in the amount of games that you're reacting emotionally before you're reacting logically, time to step back, go get something to drink,
take a breather, walk,
talk to somebody, and then react emotionally. Then you get back, and then you say you're gonna kick ass and take names. Right?
You just get in there because now you got the taste for victory. You want it. Yeah. You're gonna go in there. You're not gonna make mistakes. You're gonna make it happen, and that's what you need. think of it like a montage. Like you walk away. And you just see you do a little something that calms you down. It's like a training montage, and you come back like Rocky, and you beat that guy's ass.
But don't fall into the trap of, especially if you've lost a bunch of games consecutively, where you just run it back over and over and over again. Don't fall into this trap of, I'm just going to keep doing this until I win, because that is the kind of mindset that's going to make you keep losing.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because when you lose, it's usually because you're doing something predictable or repeated, like repetitive. And, yeah, when you jump back into the game and don't think about what just happened, even if you're like, oh, even if you sit, because that's a trap too, where you're like, man, all I have to do is fight someone that doesn't spam short Yukons over and over again, and then I'll fucking win, run it back. You know, like, it doesn't really help you in the next
match. You don't grow, and then you usually walk into the same... It's the same trap.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's all about growing. Fighting games is all about growth.
Fighting games is all about... It's an introverted sport. It's all about looking inward and seeing how far you can go with something like this. How much you can grow. And it's really... It's a test of your mental fortitude in many cases. More so than your finger dexterity. It's really a test of how you can stay calm under pressure and how you react to losing. And winners react really well to losing.
Sure.
That's like...
Except for Filipino champ. Because he's going to cry. I can't wait.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well... I really hope there's not a riot.
If you see a large black guy throwing a chair, that's me.
Yeah, if you see a dude stand up after the, like, you know, the power goes out or something, and you hear this chair get thrown and something gets set on fire, where you're not going to have any more Keep It Classy podcasts for a little while.
It's cool. It's just, it had to happen.
Just know that it had to happen. So that's our podcast, ladies and gentlemen. That's round five. That's five podcasts you've been with us. God, you're so awesome for choosing us. Thank you for giving us an hour-ish of your time. And again, if you want to get in touch with us, keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com or check out the website, keepitclassy.podbean.com or go on iTunes. We need reviews. We love reviews. You guys are awesome. We know you're going to give us some really awesome ones as time goes on. So with that, I don't think we have a sign off, do we?
I got one.
All right. Wait. Give it a moment, and then and you're going to do it, and then I'm going to say, until next time, ladies and gentlemen. And then, okay? So that's right. You're going to do it, and then I'm going to say, till next time.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Okay.
You stay sexy out there.
We'll catch you next time. God, that was awesome.
There it is.